This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel, sitting in for Jane Lindholm today. Well, last night, Senator Bernie Sanders released his tax returns from the last 10 years, and those returns show that Sanders and his wife, Jane, had an income of $1.1 million in 2016 and $1.2 million in 2017. Last year in 2018, their reported income was just over $500,000. Sanders' base Senate salary is $174,000. Most of the rest of his income comes from advances and royalties from the several books that he's written in the last few years. So why is it important for presidential candidates to release their tax returns? And what do we learn about Bernie Sanders? To help us learn more about this issue, we turn to Middlebury College political science professor Matt Dickinson. Hey, Matt, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be with you, Bob.
So, Matt, what's the importance of presidential candidates releasing their tax returns? Why do we care?
Well, we care for three reasons. One is we want to know whether they have a potential conflict of interest, whether they're abiding by the rules that all Americans have to abide by, which is to pay your fair share of taxes. But we also care because it can tell us something about them as individuals. For instance, are they making charitable contributions? How much? To whom? Third, and I think most important, they often say they are one of us. They speak for us. And the question is, can they relate to us? And the income tells us something about how they would answer that question. So in general, presidential candidates have tended traditionally to release their income tax. And obviously that's become something of an issue in recent years because our current president has not released his. But it's also the case that Bernie Sanders resisted releasing at least the full release of 10 years, which is pretty traditionally done by most candidates, for a while yet. So it's really important in his case because so much of his candidacy is based on his message of economic populism.
So as you look at Bernie Sanders' tax returns, what did you learn from it? What do you take away from it?
Well, I mean, technically, he's part of the 1%. Now, that's not a problem, assuming I think most Americans will forgive him for bringing in a buck as long as he's done so fairly, and as long as his income tax is a rate that's consistent with what most Americans would pay. So his effective federal tax rate was about 26%. I think most Americans would understand that he's paying his fair share. The question, I think, is how he explains that. And given the nature of his candidacy and the focus that he's made on economic populism and attacking the 1%, it does raise a certain political awkwardness. It's not disqualifying by any means, but it does mean he has to sort of talk about, as part of the 1%, what does that do to his message, which is largely premised on attacking the 1%. This does, again, isn't necessarily disqualifying, but it does require him to do some explaining.
So you think it hurts his credibility on these issues a little bit?
Partly it depends on how he answers it. Now, his preliminary answers is often the case with Bernie. He, as you well know from covering him for years, he can be somewhat thin-skinned. He can be prickly in his responses. And when first asked about his income, he's sort of at his forecasting for a number of days now that he is part of the 1% without actually using that term. But his response is about, well, you know, sue me. I wrote a top-selling book and I earned a lot of money. What's wrong with that? Well, there's nothing wrong with that for the normal candidate, but you have spent 30 years critiquing the top 1% of taxpayers. So you have to sort of say something about why that critique still stands, even though you're part of it. Assuming he does that well, I don't think this is a long-term issue that he has to worry about.
You know, Matt, I saw an internet ad last night from a group that's very critical of Bernie becoming a millionaire. It basically charged that he's revising his political agenda to reflect his new wealthy status. Is this what happens when a candidate is perceived to be a front runner in a campaign?
Absolutely. I think part of the reason that his income tax is getting so much more scrutiny this time around is he is the front runner. The most recent polls suggest he is running either first or second, depending on whether you include Biden in there and whether you're looking nationally or in Iowa or New Hampshire, the early contests. But by any measure, polling, amount of money raised, he has to be considered, if not the front runner, a front runner. And when you're a front runner, you have a target on your back. And he is particularly susceptible to this target. This target says 1%. And you can be sure his rivals, who are looking for any edge they can get, are going to point this out, that this is a potential problem for Sanders. And that's why it was so important for him to release the returns and to deal with this earlier as opposed to later.
And yet some of his rivals, particularly those in the Senate, have incomes that are far greater than Bernie's.
Sure. Kamala Harris is her adjusted gross income almost $2 million. So sure, he is part of the 1%, but most of the Democratic candidates are, in fact, equally or more wealthy than he is. So that's not the issue. The issue isn't the fact that he's earning a lot of money. The issue is, among the candidates, he's the one who has made so much political hay out of critiquing the 1%. And that's why I think it's potentially a little bit more awkward for him. Not disqualifying, but certainly a little bit more awkward than, say, for an Amy Klobuchar or a Kamala Harris, who's raison d'etre is not necessarily rooted so deeply in this economic populism.
You mentioned Bernie running 1 and 2 with Joe Biden, who has not announced his candidacy yet. Let's just say for the sake of discussion that Joe Biden is in this race. If he is, how does that affect Bernie and the whole dynamics of the race?
I think Biden is the Hillary Clinton of 2020. In essence, he's a bit more moderate. He represents the political establishment. He's going to run on a record. And Bernie knows how to run against a candidate like that. I think the bigger issue for Bernie is that progressive lane that he occupied by himself in 2016, it's now really crowded. There's a number of other contenders that are trying to move into that lane, some of them legitimate based on past records like Elizabeth Warren, some of them trying to recreate or reposition themselves as progressive like a Kamala Harris. And that's where I think Bernie's primary competition is going to come from early in this race. As we see a winnowing of the candidates in that progressive lane, is he going to be the one that emerges victorious and sort of is the opposition to the establishment candidate, which isn't necessarily going to be Biden, although Biden is certainly going to have a strong claim to occupy that particular lane.
Matt, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you, it seems like recent polls indicate that a majority of Democrats want a candidate who can defeat Donald Trump in 2020. That is priority number one, not necessarily political ideology. How does that affect Bernie's chances?
It affects him in this way. In 2016, nobody expected him to win, and so he could make an argument on principle that he's articulating a set of policies, and people would listen to that because they all knew Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee, and in the end, she was going to win. So we put up with a lot of sort of the idiosyncrasies associated with Bernie's candidacy. That's not the case now. The case now is we have an incumbent Republican. We need to defeat him. And so Bernie has to go beyond simply stating principles to show that this guy's an effective campaigner. And this means a greater focus on what he's gotten done as a senator. And frankly, his record is not that impressive. So he has to really convince people that beyond simply articulating principles, he knows how to compromise. He knows how to build coalitions. He knows how to win. And that, I think, is the big question heading forward as we evaluate his candidacy.
Matt Dickinson, many thanks as always for your perspective on these political issues.
My pleasure.